The power of stories to drive novelty crypto projects like Dogecoin and Bored Ape is pretty obvious. But how do you put that power to work for a more traditional commercial venture? What are the secrets to doing that in Web3, and what do they mean for building a brand? I'm Mike Traiano. This is Contagious Narrative. So last week I talked about Bored Ape and Dogecoin, admitted outliers in the world of crypto. And this week I want to pivot towards more mainstream projects, and specifically I want to compare the way that Terra was launched to the way that Polkadot was launched. Now Terra, you know, obviously had a spectacularly bad week a while back. That's not really the point of what I want to describe. I really want to go back to the original white papers and just share some thoughts on the two different approaches that these projects took to kind of get to a place where the technology could be proven out in the first place. So I'm going to begin with Terra, and I'm pulling up here. This is the Terra white paper. Its headline is Terra Money, Stability, and Adoption. You can just Google it and find it yourself. All right, so this is structured like a classic kind of white paper. It's about 16 pages long. You got an introduction and then like subsections, you know, section 2, 2A, 2B. You know, it's very kind of academic in its structure. And I'm going to read you a quick excerpt from the way this paper begins. I promise this will be brief, but good to have it in your head. All right, introduction. The price volatility of cryptocurrencies is a well-studied problem by both academics and market observers. See, for instance, Liu and Savinsky, 2018, Makarov and Shor, 2018. Most cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, have a predetermined issuance schedule that, together with a strong speculative demand, contributes to wild fluctuations in price. Bitcoin's extreme price volatility is a major roadblock towards its adoption as a medium of exchange or store of value. Intuitively, nobody wants to pay with a currency that has the potential to double in value in a few days, or wants to be paid in a currency if its value can significantly decline before the transaction is settled. The problems are aggravated when the transaction requires more time, e.g. for deferred payments such as mortgages or employment contracts, as volatility would severely disadvantage one side of the contract, making the usage of existing digital currencies in these settings prohibitively expensive. At the core of how the Terra protocol solves these issues is the idea that a cryptocurrency with an elastic monetary policy would maintain a stable price, retaining all the censorship resistance of Bitcoin and making it viable for use in everyday transactions. However, price stability is not sufficient for the wide adoption of a currency. Currencies inherently have strong network effects. A customer is unlikely to switch over to a new currency unless a critical mass of merchants are ready to accept it. But at the same time, merchants have no reason to invest resources and educate staff to accept a new currency unless there is significant customer demand for it, etc., etc. Okay, so there is a style of prose there that is, you know, very academic. There's something sort of, you know, there's a story element to it, at least. We're starting off with a villain, right? The defining aspect of the story is there's got to be a bad guy, a problem that we begin with. And Terra, it seems, was focused squarely on the problem of Bitcoin volatility and its unsuitability as a medium of transaction. You know, Bitcoin has really established itself as a primary store of value, and that's its bread and butter. And it's less good at the transactional stuff. You know, there's Lightning, there's other variations, you know, layer twos that make Bitcoin a more appropriate medium in that use case. But for the most part, that is the sort of, you know, bad guy here. But you got to read all 16 pages to kind of get that, right? Now, you know, Doquan, who was the sort of face of this thing, the paper is written by him, Evan Karikas, Marco DiMaggio, and Nicholas Plotius, in April of 2019. So, you know, I think someone like Doquan, whom, you know, full disclosure, I do not know, but I know people who know him, you know, is a very good storyteller. And so, you know, maybe he was trying to supplement his own ability to get people excited with a document that felt more, you know, intellectually rigorous. I don't know. But this is an approach, right? This is a more academic, not story-driven model of how to introduce a currency to the world, okay? All right, so I want to compare that for a moment with another document. This is the polka dot light paper. They call this a light paper. And by the way, this is this language is interesting to me. You know, words matter. And the white paper model, which is definitely the Terra, more academic feeling model, it seems to be giving way somewhat to the quote-unquote light paper model. The polka dot launch light paper is actually also 16 pages, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's like designed, and there's a way more white space. You know, there's beautiful graphics. You know, this thing is a document that clearly was in the hands of a professional designer. And odds are some professional communications people who were able to package it into something compelling. Notable are the graphics. So Polkadot is this idea really that you want to structure the bridges between chains, you know, in the core architecture. Polkadot is a set of, they're called parachains attached to the central entity. And, you know, if you're following what's happening in crypto, it turns out the bridges between and among these currencies are a point of security vulnerability. And so Polkadot, which was created by Gavin Wood, one of the co-founders of Ethereum, it is really sort of saying, okay, let's start with that and let's build a set of parachains that can operate, you know, grounded into this central chain right out of the gate. Interesting idea, really. And that is graphically represented like all over this document as a visual cue as to what's going on here. And I think that, you know, the visual aspect of storytelling is fundamental. And the Polkadot light paper, which again, you can Google, does a fantastic job of that. All right, so for comparison purposes, I'm going to read you the first page of the Polkadot light paper, and you'll be able to compare it in your mind to what I just shared from Terra. Ready? Here we go. Headline, all caps, less trust, more truth. Every day we interact with technologies controlled by a handful of large companies whose interests and incentives often conflict with our own. If we want the benefits of using their proprietary apps, we're forced to agree to terms that most of us will never read, granting these companies complete control over the data we generate through each interaction with their tools. Because that data can often paint a detailed picture of our personal lives, it's become a resource more valuable than oil, and we're giving it up for free, with no choice but to trust that it won't be lost, stolen, or misused. At the same time, progress in open source and decentralized technologies like blockchain has shown that we can build systems that prioritize individual sovereignty over centralized control. With these new systems, there's no need to trust any third parties not to be evil. But blockchain technology in its current form isn't ready to break the corporate stranglehold on the web just yet. Despite the promise and the progress made, we have yet to see significant real-world deployment of the technology. Polkadot is a next-generation blockchain protocol that unites an entire network of purpose-built blockchains, allowing them to operate seamlessly together at scale. This is Blockchain Unbounded. Jesus. I mean, it's like a movie trailer, right? And the language evokes an emotional response on the part of the user. Like, yeah, you know, fuck those guys, right? And so this is when I talk about story, like I'm not talking about, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I'm really talking about how do you frame an idea in the context of a narrative, something with a beginning, a middle, and an end, something with an antagonist and a protagonist, to start off identifying the problem and then build back from that to create a vision for the particular solution that you are building. And the point of this whole series, and one of our core beliefs as a fund, is that having a great story at the core of your protocol, project, whatever it is you're building, is absolutely fundamental to success in Web3. Because in the end, it's all about creating a community. All right. So, you know, I want to acknowledge the elephant in the room here. We are comparing a protocol that has so far proven technically sound, Polkadot, to one that was proven not to be in spectacular fashion a couple of weeks ago. That's Terra. And again, I'm not picking on anybody. I know this is it's too soon, right? This is still a raw wound for people, and I'm very sorry for folks who, you know, kind of fell victim to this poor technical architecture. But that is really not the point. Okay, the point is that in the 2x2 matrix of technically sound and not sound, let's say that's the horizontal versus the, you know, prose-led, story-led as the vertical, you know, the protocols in the upper right quadrant, those that are story-led and technically sound, those are going to be the ones that build a community and hang on to it. Now, again, from the sound of it, Doquan was quite a storyteller, and maybe that explains how he got off the ground with Terra in the first place. But story matters in building community, and you know, if you can do that with a great story and then deliver on your promises with great technology, you know, you're going to be playing a long-term value game instead of a short-term speculative one. You know, certainly the entrepreneurs that we're talking to these days, that's the game they want to play. They want to create long-term value. That's the game we want to play. You know, a venture fund has a, you know, 5 to 10 year horizon for, you know, realizing returns, and that's where we want to be. All right. So how do you tell a story for a protocol, for a project? How do you go about crafting one that will attract the right kinds of people and get them to bring more of the same on board? Don't miss the next episode of Contagious Narrative. You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now. Remember to share this prolifically with your friends. I'm just sort of getting underway here, and it would really mean a lot to me if either on Twitter or LinkedIn you would share this with your thoughts on why it's a good way to spend 10 or 15 minutes each week. Until then, I thank you sincerely for listening. I look forward to talking more about this, and welcome your thoughts and feedback on how to make the series even more valuable. Hang in there, and I will see you next week. Here come the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster.